up, then I.
Spiders in the bathroom.
Oh, you're having a laugh.
No, I'm not.
Oh, dear God. The world's coming to an end.
The kids are deathly afraid of spiders, and they have to get ready for school.
I had to leave home from school to come home and kill a bug because somebody in my house was freaking out. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of school. But I can't stay here until you get it out of here. I literally had to kind of deathly scared of bugs.
Yeah, modern education would not allow that to occur.
We have a rule here where if it's larger than a quarter, we have to save it. We have to catch it in a glass and an index card and take it outside.
Good.
I made the rule, so it's not like I'm bothered by it. But
no, this one was nickel-sized. With the legs.
Yeah, okay.
I used to go home for lunch. When I was at school, I used to come home. I used to walk back home 15 minutes for lunch. I'd have half an hour at home, and then I'd walk back 15 minutes there, and I had my lunch hour at home. And Ellis isn't allowed out of school. They don't allow any kids to go for lunch anymore.
Really?
Yeah, you're not allowed to go home for lunch.
Why is that?
Just not allowed. If you sign in for the day, that's it. You're there for the day. Tough. And if you say, I want to go home, you can't. Tough. But
oh, that's crazy.
Schools are draconian here now. They're like concentration camps. I'm telling you. They're gulags.
I was never allowed to go home for lunch.
Well, that maybe was your parents, though, telling the school not to let you out, for God's sake.
No, no, you had to get extensive paperwork just to leave campus.
Don't do it, because Forrest will just run.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to leave
once
campus.
Once you were 18, you could sign yourself out.
Yeah, no, sixth formers can probably leave, but years 1 to years 7 to 11, grade 7 to 11 can't. Anyway, different subject. Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're back. Sorry about last week. All had a bit of a guest meltdown, and then the ones that were left, and then I struggled. And I just it was horrible. But we're all right now. We're here. Brett says he wasn't coming anyway, and he was the one person I thought I was going to do the show with. It didn't work. Joining me, fantastic panel. Really good panel, because James Rickards didn't turn up. I hope he's watching. Top left, Dot Rock. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, good, good. Getting ready for my little trip here, and
Japan. You've got to. You still haven't done a show from Japan with us, mate.
You know what? I'll try and do it this time. It's because I think the timing is.
Yeah, you're 7 or 8 hours ahead of me, so it'd be like midnight.
Yeah, but we'll see. Last time I might have been too drunk.
I'm sure it was the technology, right? They have horrible bandwidth over there.
That's right.
Yeah. 1,000 up, 1,000 down, just not enough.
Yeah. The funny thing is, that's where the pocket Wi-Fi. It's, you know, like what we call a little Wi-Fi puck.
A Wi-Fi, yeah. You still get 1,000 up and 1,000 down.
Ridiculous. In a train, in a tunnel, underground. But yeah, we can't stay connected in the middle of a field over here.
Well, Adam was having trouble at home the other week. Talking to Adam, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Just trying to get my computer back up and running after Mojave nuke and pave. But
yeah,
other
you're
than that,
brave.
Good.
You're brave, man. I haven't done it yet. I need to do
well,
it.
Well, I haven't. I'm brave in the fact that I skipped an entire operating system update because I didn't want to deal with it.
Really? You've missed out the last one?
Yeah, I never ran High Sierra. When Mojave came out, I'm like, okay. I need to do it. It's time.
I would have thought that was an even more dangerous activity.
Yeah. No, it's mainly because I do all this server level stuff. And so I have so much stuff that's installed from command line and has to be reconfigured and rebuilt. And it doesn't really get backed up all that well. And, you know, dumping databases. It's like moving a server. So,
oh, okay.
And I just don't like dealing with it.
Underneath it, Brett, how you doing, pal?
I'm swell. How are you?
Yeah, you look rather lumberjacky today. Or is that your pajamas?
It has officially gotten cold in Minnesota, so
right.
I am in flannel now.
So the month of summer.
Official winter uniform.
Yep. 40 degrees always seems colder when you're coming from 70. When you're coming from like negative 10, 40 degrees feels like summer.
Warm. Yeah, it's like short
right
sweater.
Now, my brain's like, oh, it's freezing, but it's still above freezing. I'm just, I'm in that psychological, I should be in Florida state of mind.
Okay. Is that because that's a trip that's coming up for you, or just Florida?
Oh, God, no. Just Florida has consistent 80-degree weather pretty much all the time. It's kind of the...
isn't it nice?
Hawaii is better, I would assume.
Well, yeah,
it was until global warming. Now it's hot as bad words.
Oh, right, because you're under a volcano ash now.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Florida stupid humid, though?
It's stupid yes. humid and also just stupid.
So you can come here.
Yes.
San Diego, yeah. 70 yeah, and no humidity.
Yeah, I guess
although we have had some humidity this year and it was awful.
California's a lot more temperate, isn't it? And warm.
Well,
I just want you to know that this house, the whole thing sells for, I think, 119. And that mm-hmm. would get you maybe an apartment in California.
Yeah, no.
So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm good.
Maybe.
No, it wouldn't.
No. That's my parking.
Not anywhere you'd want to be.
Sharon always wanted to go and stay with her nearer to her family. And I'm like, I'm not selling a detached 3-bedroom house in Birmingham to go and live in a 1-bedroom flat in Stevenage with 2 kids. It's not happening. Not happening. And last but by no means least, Patrice.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, mate. What's been going off with you?
A lot. Like a lot of server stuff right now, not just BTN, but also at work. Our main technical guy left, and I'm kind of I'm the only one who can deal with setting up the production server for us. So servers, I should say.
Well, you've done a mouthful job on this end from the BTN viewpoint, because we're officially all off now. We're all over on TSO host. It's all running smooth as snot, and down to you and Anders, mate.
Yeah, I was surprised how smooth it was, actually. I mean, there was one little hiccup or two that most people didn't even notice, and that was it.
So. The only thing that I've had go wrong with the move over to TSO host is a couple of the domain transfers have got hung up, mm-hmm. but that's it. Everything else has run absolutely effortlessly. Been superb. The week in Apple, then. What's gone off? What's gone on? Well, we haven't seen you since we did the unboxing, which I forgot to post. I do apologize. I thought I'd posted it. Then I realized coming home the other week, I hadn't done it the other night, actually. So that was nearly 2 weeks late going up. So we've had 2 weeks with us new phones. What do we think?
Awesome. Love it.
I got to say, I had a difficult conversation with the wife about buying a 1,250 quid phone. But I'm really chuffed with it. I got to say, the notch I don't even notice. I love watching films on it on the big screen when it's in the kitchen when I'm cooking. It's just superb with the AirPods in. Wireless charging, mate. I'm never going back. If they take wireless charging out because there's some issue, I'll design it myself because I'm never ever going away from wireless charging again now.
Mm-hmm.
I love it beyond belief. Has anyone had a problem with the plug-in charger? Someone's going on about the charger gate, wasn't there, for the Mac S? I can't test it because I haven't bothered plugging the charger into it yet.
I played around with it a little bit when I read that report with my 10S, and about the only thing I experienced was it was slow to ding and slow to change the icon, but I mean, it charged every time I plugged it in. I've heard from some other people, though, it seems to be an intermittent thing, and it does seem to be a software thing, potentially. Mm-hmm. I'm not even entirely convinced that it's not charging. I think it may be simply it's not updating the UI, and it sounds like there's a fix in the beta, 12.1 beta, which should be out officially any minute.
The thing that's always super irking, every time every phone comes out, it's like there's a handful of guys on YouTube that are the prominent whatever
Lewis what's his face is just an absolute self-inflated
that's the guy from Unbox Therapy, right?
Well, I don't care where he's from. Yes. I don't know, but he's a self-inflated
So yeah, and it's like he's the one that started the original Ben gate, and from there on every phone comes out, he comes out with a gate, and almost every single time, minus the aluminum frame structure, it's always a software thing that always gets fixed within the first update. And a lot of times it's just one of these things. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's, Apple or BMW or Sony or whomever, when you do a mass rollout, you'll realize that regionally you're dealing with electrical currents from different places, different type of phone systems. Like, there's a lot going on. And so that's why they make so many of these tweaks and adjustments software oriented, because they know mm-hmm. that they can handle this. The other thing that's really messed up, how many people in this day and age, and even though Adam has told them to stop it, use MFI charging things all the way around the board, right? And of course, in their video, they test it with, you know, the Apple supplied and Apple supplied, but most people don't even use that anyway. So it's charging is always bound to be a problem, because most people are not using the original kit. Even we don't, like, we use Anchor cables or, you know, Amazon Basics or whatever's out there. So I just wish these guys would stop, knowing good and well there's an update, because you're just creating panics for the views. Mm-hmm. And you know they're getting the views because the dude is testing 10 $1,200 phones. And, you know, he's got, like, the last time I checked, like 8-9 million hits on that video, which is, you know, close to about 80 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I mean, and I would say since the original Bentgate, I don't consider any year's updates issue. Supposed issues as really an issue. I mean, from everything I've seen and heard and what came out later, it was never anything that was, I mean, even close to the proportion that people blew it up to. Like, there were, I mean, sometimes there was, even Apple acknowledged there was a small, like, less than 1% of people that had an issue and they fixed it. So it was never that, like, the majority of people really had that issue and really had to deal with it. But it's yeah, it's just business, ultimately. It's just business.
Was he the one to instigate SmoothGate or whatever they're calling it, too? VaselineGate. I don't know what they're calling it.
What's Vaseline
what
that? SmoothGate. You guys didn't hear about SmoothGate?
I have.
The allegation that Apple with the XS and XS Max is applying to the selfie camera a skin smoothing filter their images look better. And that
I had my mind on Bendgate, and then you added SmoothGate.
I thought it was that was a slippery issue. Yeah. Well, we've had an email. Thanks to Greg for writing in, and he said happy fall, which I'm guessing he's referring to the season, not suggesting that I need to fall over.
Right.
But he sent this picture in of him on a. This is California based, I think. Watching the Mac Show, we and guys were watching the keynote for the Apple Watch. I agree with you that the photo was overexposed and kind of washed out. I used to be a photographer myself, and I've got a degree in photography, but currently I'm doing Apple consulting. I just purchased the iPhone XS Max and went to the Palo Verdes, California, take a walk and see the sunset. This photo was taken perhaps in half an hour before sunset, maybe less. Photo is straight from the canvas, no editing. Don't feel like the background is washed out. I do feel like the background's washed out, sorry. And it's left in contrast. All my photos came out like that. I did a portrait photo also, and everything looked washed out and flat. Not much contrast. Could be wrong. Perhaps you can look at this photo and let me know what you think. And I've included another couple of photos, which I can't find. They weren't in there. So sorry, Greg. That was the basic photo that came through. And the first thing you see with that is it's massively underexposed, but it's the iPhone's trying to capture absolutely everything in that, including the sun highlights. And it should be blurring. It should be blowing those out. I did a swift, bugger. Oh, and I've got to learn how to edit shots.
he emailed me this as well, and there were some conclusions. I need to pull it up. I didn't know you were going to be talking about this, so let me see if I can find.
So there's a split screen of the top is the right hand triangle is the original image, and then the bottom left hand one is the correctly exposed one. So you can see, yeah, it's losing a massive amount of contrast, and it's also exceptionally underexposed. I mean, by some distance. And actually, if you went through and exposed it correctly, the sun looks pretty good. It's also desaturated as well, which I found a bit silly, really. I don't know, because one of the things, there's also a touch of HDR to it, and Apple has stopped doing HDR well. with this phone, because they did do HDR brilliantly. It was very subtly done, and
okay,
it was all
right,
but this isn't.
This is what we need to talk about, and this is why I wanted to bring up the SmoothGate thing and, you know, what people are misunderstanding about this whole thing and where this whole thing started is, and I forget the guy, there was somebody who works at, was it DxO, I think, or somebody like that? I can't remember. Some camera expert person had posted a post on Medium to discuss what was going on here in terms of, and a lot of this stuff is all the computational photography stuff.
And is this the Halide article?
Huh?
Have you seen the Halide article? Is that
the Halide article? Yeah, that's the one we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So this all comes down to what Apple is calling their smart HDR, and that's what's changed with the HDR. And you can disable the smart HDR if you don't like it. But in essence, I mean, they're trying to do something where every shot, no matter what lighting you're taking, no matter they're trying to strike a balance for the average person who doesn't know, like me, who doesn't know what they're doing. To where you can take a shot with harsh backlighting or harsh side lighting, and you're actually going to get a usable shot. Now, does that mean you're going to get the best shot that you could have gotten in those lighting conditions? No, but you're going to get a shot that isn't totally blown out or so dark and so full of noise that you can't use it.
Mm.
And in making those compromises, you lose some of the things that you're talking about, Ewan, I think. And it's like, well, if you know what you're doing, you can turn those features off and you can use a third-party app that allows you to control exposure and shutter and all that stuff, and then you can get the shot that you want. So, you know, for guys like you or this guy who knows what they're doing, you probably want to go in and just disable all that extra stuff and just shoot the raw and shoot with those extra software things turned off, and then you can go post-process it later.
Well, hang on, because, you know, this isn't about the RAW. This is about a correctly exposed image, and this is not a correctly exposed image.
Isn't, if it's capturing, and this is a, I'm asking, right. If it's capturing that much light and that range, isn't post-processing easy? Can't you easily change the exposure without affecting contrast?
Well, one of the problems that you've got is that they're sharpening. And they're doing quite a heavy sharpening in the image as well. Okay. So when you start affecting it in post, it gets grainy really freaking quickly.
Wait a minute. Because that's in direct contradiction to the Halide piece.
No, it's not.
Yeah. They're not doing any sharpening. They're actually reducing sharpening with the computational photography. That's why you have SmoothGate.
No, he was saying that because the images that he showed, he said they're raw images that they were previously getting out. Were softer and they could sharpen them, whereas these ones were coming out already sharp.
I think you
and they look grainy.
Yeah.
I think you have it backwards.
Okay.
I have a question. I mean, is Apple going in the wrong direction with this? I mean, like previously to iOS 12, if you took a picture and it wasn't 100% what you wanted, you would just retake it, like adjust a little bit, retake it, and hopefully get a better result. Now with, I mean, computational photography and everything, you're basically getting from what I'm hearing and seeing, not perfect shot, and you might be fine with that. So it's like you're not getting the best result because you're not even like prompted to retry it. You're just like, well, that looks okay. Like, okay, post it wherever you want.
I think part of it also falls to where they've gotten really good with the native app, but almost for as long as iPhones have been taking pictures, ever since Lisa Bentley's very first Camera Plus app, people who take pictures to take pictures don't use the stock app. There's almost nobody, right? So somewhere between Lightroom and Darkroom or InLight or, you know, Camera Plus or Pro Camera or Manual Camera or any of the 90 million, camera apps that are out there, if you're shooting in RAW, and with the phone, you get an S-Log-S kind of photo, right? And then when you open it up in the app and you make the adjustments accordingly, they're perfectly fine, you know? And there's a myriad of sort of tutorials and how to do this and how to do it the best. So maybe the one that they're designing for, you know, Emma to take a picture and be stoked with it, yeah, maybe that has problems to photographers, but the person that's taking that photo is not a photographer. If you are a photographer, use a manual app and shut up.
I disagree. I mean, the built-in camera app is the easiest to reach. I mean, from the home screen. The other apps take you longer. So I don't know how, I mean, I'm guessing Ewan is doing the same thing. You're using the standard camera app, right?
Yeah.
No, it's thinking journalism photography versus photography. All the pictures that you see people complaining about are, I sat down, I composed, I shot. That's not a pull up the camera screen. A journalistic photographer or, you know, everyday sort of street biographer, if you will. Yeah, maybe they're going to use a camera app, but they're not going to sit there and pixel peek. They're just not. They just don't. The people that are all bitching are all high-end photographers. And
yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate. I think I'll go back to my earlier statement. Correctly exposed is correctly exposed. And you can't let a company run riot over what's a correctly exposed image and try and fool the public into thinking it's a perfectly good shot when it bloody isn't. Mm. I'm not having that. Yeah. I'm sorry. It is my job to say, I'm sorry, Apple. But what you're doing is a POS.
Well, then turn it off.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
But you paid $1,250 for it.
Oh, stop. Right. Hang on. Just a second. There is a difference between me as a professional photographer saying for Apple, I don't think you're doing the right thing here on this podcast, and me wanting to turn on or off features. I'm saying I think that professional photographers, when they see a fault in a camera app and the way that an image is being processed and delivered and it's incorrectly exposed and oversaturated, undersaturated, over HDR, under HDR, they should be saying something. You can't just let people be fooled by shit photography.
But obviously the photo experts at Apple seem to disagree with you for some reason.
Well, they're talking about that.
If enough people
then,
talk about it, they'll fix it. This is software fixable.
Right. There's an iPhone 10 and an iPhone.
They're not going to fix it because apparently Apple doesn't think it's a problem. They think they have the best images coming out of their stock camera app that they can process.
Well, they're in Cloud Cuckoo Land then.
Here comes the other part. I bet you, and I'm just going to take a wildest guess. I know no information. This is just knowing how people act. Many people have run out and wrote highlight S articles about it. I've seen a bunch of articles about the camera. I've seen a bunch of YouTube videos about the camera. I wonder how many of those people actually went to feedback.apple.com and told somebody rather than bitch out loud to their fans so they can get a lot more hits.
I'm not bitching out loud so I can get more hits.
I know you're not, because right. No one wants shit anyway. Us. But I'm saying the overall the reason why we get to this conversation is because people always write these articles. But I mean, I wonder how many of those people actually attempt to reach out to talk to someone to get, you know, better, clearer answers or to forward the actual solution rather than just make the noise. Like, I know if you felt it was really bad, you would write feedback.apple.com and you would know what to say. You know, the guy in Highlight obviously know what he's saying because they made a camera app. So they were talking from a developer standpoint as well. But I wonder if they wrote to somebody and said something or they just, you know, throw this up on Medium and Highlight and look at me.
So there's an iPhone 10 and an iPhone 10S shot here.
Those are the raw images, right?
Yeah, loads of the raw captures from the two images, untouched. Right. So the difference between the noise in the left and the right, there is way more noise in the image on the right from the 10S.
Correct. Yes.
And what you're seeing there is a classic artifact for sharpening. That's exactly what it looks like.
That article specifically says they're not applying sharpening. It talks about the fact that there's so much more noise because of the shutter and speed settings that have changed.
I'm sorry, but I know what sharpening looks like, and that's sharpening. And if you look at this picture here, I mean, yes, all right, you've got a dynamic range, which is like an HDR type image on the right hand side, but it's massively undersaturated and it's massively overexposed and it's not a good picture.
And the article says that too. But I mean, I'm just telling you, this guy who claims to be a camera expert is saying that noise in that raw image is because Apple's using a shorter shutter speed.
Well, you'll get the more you force light into a camera by opening a shutter wider or by increasing your shutter speeds, then you will get more noise by default. But I still say that there's some in-camera sharpening taking place.
The conclusion of his article, he says the problem is that Apple isn't using sharpening, and that's why there's so much smoothing in their smart HDR, and that they probably need to apply sharpening.
If you've got high noise, sharpening will make it worse.
iPhone 10 camera is it makes all the details, especially the further back stuff look what I call it the watercolor effect. So I take a picture of a sunset with trees and stuff like that, and all the leaves and things have no detail. They look like they're like blurred splotches when you
do
zooming in.
If you've got high noise, sharpening makes it worse. Never going to improve it. So the solution to high noise is not sharpening.
I'm not talking about noise. I'm talking about loss of detail. I think there's a lot, and that's what SmoothGate's all about, is everything loses detail. Wood grains lose detail. You know, details in leaves, in hair. If you scroll down to the image of the singer, the one that's in low light, she's in a spotlight, it's a little ways down below that. It shows you with the Smart Raw off and with this, oh, that's their stuff. That's the Smart Raw stuff. Never mind. But there's some other images that will show the difference between Smart HDR and not Smart HDR. So if you turn off Smart HDR, you'll get a lot of the edge detail and the sharpness detail back that you don't get with the new Smart HDR.
I took a picture with, I was with Rob, TV Redneck in the chat room at his place, and then we both took a picture side by side of his cat, and his was just like popped. But I was like, no, that's unnatural. That's not right. Here's what mine looks like. And he took the Smart HDR stuff off, or the Smart filter that they got on, and it was an identical picture. Nothing different.
Right.
It was all post-processing. It wasn't done well. Apple, I'm really disappointed because I got to say the HDR that was on the iPhone 7 was brilliantly done. It was very well done. I'm not a lover of HDR, and that was done subtly, whereas this one is overt.
So the recommendation is open up. For anybody who doesn't like the new Smart HDR look, definitely go in and turn it off. And then you will be exactly the same HDR that you had, just like you said, Ewan, with the iPhone 10. You'll be right back to the iPhone 10.
Well, I've got an office for a customer that I'll remain nameless, but they've got three images on their wall that I took with my iPhone 7, and they're beautiful. And you get up close to them, they're not grainy, they look good. I've got a good way that I use to upscale. But they're excellent. And the first thing that I saw out of this camera was, I'm not going to be able to use this for work. And that was one of the reasons I bought it, which scared the crap out of me.
More importantly, with this Halide thing, have you tried the Halide app and this their new, what they're calling their Smart Raw?
I've got the Halide app and I haven't used it yet with that. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sample images in this article, and to me, they look better than what Apple is doing, in my opinion. I haven't used it yet, though. I want to try it. But I mean, I was generally happy with the camera, and as a matter of fact, that's been my favorite feature. You know, just for me personally, and again, I'm not a photo person. My average daily shots, but I don't know what I'm looking at, Ewan. But to me, I'm actually pleased with the results that I'm getting in most cases, other than what I mentioned. Sort of some of the loss of sharpness or detail in certain areas with certain shots, especially lower light shots.
There's a nasty tendency.
Not a solution for that.
There's a nasty tendency that's been coming for the last sort of 5 years plus of people who are pros because they picked up a DSLR, and the trend is to have underexposed images, which just drives me mental because everyone raves about them on Instagram, and you're like, it's underexposed. It's shit. It wouldn't make anywhere near a magazine. And then I picked up a magazine the other week, GQ, I think it was, and all the images in there were frigging underexposed. I was horrified. Okay, well, it wouldn't make it in Vogue then. Or Cosmo.
No, it's the trend now. But if you're still buying a DSLR now, you already got problems. You should be on mirrorless.
But the thing that annoys me is, if you expose the image properly, you can then apply all those effects to them afterwards and they look better. You can still get the same feel of the image, but it looks better because you exposed it properly in the first place. People don't get that.
But you're again, at the end of the day, what Apple has to deliver is something that the person who just picked up their phone and took a snap is happy with. And great. Like it or not, you and a lot of people who are naive and don't know what they're looking at are happy with the image.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. They're happy. They think they got a great image. whether it's your professional opinion true or not, it doesn't really matter because they're happy.
Oh, my opinion always matters, dude. I couldn't agree with me more about my opinion.
Back to the question. I mean, should Apple, I mean, yeah, most people don't know any better, but like Apple is a $1 trillion company. Should they pay more attention to it and make sure it is also from a technical standpoint correct?
I would love to get in the room with the camera people, but I have a feeling that Apple has not hired slouches for their camera team.
Definitely
and
not.
I would have a feeling that they would have a vehement argument with Ewan and try and defend their position that what they built and put together is the absolute best. I believe that they believe they built the absolute best camera system that they could possibly build and that it is doing all of the correct things that they should be doing. And I would say that they probably have backgrounds in photography that are way, way beyond mine. You know, Ewan can put his degree and his training up against theirs. But I mean, I don't think they have stupid, dumb people working on Apple's camera team who aren't professionals in their field.
Apple's most consistent ability is to tell people what they want.
Exactly.
So they decide they're careful about it, but then they will convince you that this is what you actually wanted.
The other thing no one's putting into thought here is, and I'm not sure because there's a certain level of privacy, but without looking at the actual pictures themselves, maybe they scrub EIXF data and they see what people do with the built-in app and, you know, what they do to adjust pictures. And maybe they decided that they were always shooting overexposed and then so they decided to dial it back based off of like billions of photos, you know.
They also give these phones to professionals in the field, and those people are raving about these images too. So I'm just arguing that there's obviously, you know, even photographers can't agree on what's a good or bad image, apparently.
Yeah, it's definitely subjective. And like Ewan said, the new trend is most definitely, even in the video guys, everybody thinks that they're shooting with Ikigami or they're shooting with an old like RFlex film camera. So everybody's all about S-Log 3. And when they get into color grading, most guys don't know how to color grade because they never came from a three-wheel color grader. They use these DaVinci Resolves and stuff like that. And most of the digital films I see right now, color correction is just horrible. It's like super horrible. Like even on some of the pro stuff that's on Netflix, like I look at the color correction and I go, who did that? And that's because these guys never sat down with a Harriet or, you know, a real high-end analog coloring machine. They don't know how to do it. And then most of the apps have even taken the analog of the way color correction used to be for video, and they've taken that away to give this new, modern, easier, you click it one time and don't touch it kind of stuff. So I think, you know, if you look at DxO filters, you look at what they add to their, what's available for their new Nick collection, so to speak, brought back out, it probably would drive someone like you in crazy. But that's the current what people love. If you look at Instagram for 5 minutes, you can see it.
Sorry, fellas, I was looking for my degree in photography and then I remembered I didn't have one.
Oh my God, you silly.
Well, I mean, again, just coming from a point of naivete, you know, it's just like, how are we supposed to know when you have companies like DxO coming out and saying, you know, giving it a 93 for exposure and contrast in the Smart HDR, and then Ewan coming around and saying, well, it's all overexposed and it's crap. I mean, those things are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right. So here's the thing is that I'm standing in a nightclub with a guy who pulls his phone out to take a picture. And he says, oh, my phone won't take a picture. I went, well, that's because there's no frigging light in here, dude. And he went, well, what's that got to do with it? That is the problem. That is all over the problem because everyone wants to take a picture even when it's completely pitch black. They want to go down a mine with no lights on and say, well, why can't I take a picture of the mine? If you can't see it, you can't take a picture of it, you moron.
But I mean, DxO calls it the second best camera in a smartphone on the market right now.
So here's what I can tell you. I can help a little bit. And I'm maybe speaking out of my ass, but I watch a lot of videos on photography, right? One of a couple of the best guys are from the UK. But when they talk about doing their lighting and exposure stuff, if I use any of the stuff that they say outside, my pictures are absolute shit no matter what. And it's not because they don't know what they're talking about. Their sky doesn't look anything like my sky. It's not even close. Now, there's rules and there's ways to set your histogram up. But if you take their general rules, because they're talking about their experience and what they're used to, they're not going to run half shot against the shit we run through with.
There are people out there. Doc's exactly right. There are people out there, and I'm not one of them, who can look at a sky in an image and tell you roughly where it was shot in the world, because it is completely different. And so, I remember going to see Tom Merritt when Wheaters and I were out in for Macworld in 2014, and we stood on the pier in Santa Monica, and I was just kind of like, the sun's brighter here. It's definitely brighter. Even on bright days where I come from, it's not this bright. This is way brighter than a bright day at home. And it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely is.
Yeah.
Oh, over here, Patrice will tell you, because this pasty ass almost melted. It's bright AF over here. Like, it's super, super ridiculous. And so I think what happens, you take a combination of that, but then you also take people who shoot cold and people who shoot warm. I think your loving to shoot cold or loving to shoot warm has a lot more to do with your disposition than your photography skill. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a generally happy person, you probably shoot warmer, right? Or you might shoot extremely cold because you're trying to give off a feeling that's not your normal feeling. You're trying to show an emotion that's not the one you currently have.
Thank you, Sigmund Freud.
Huh?
Thank you, Sigmund Freud.
I'm being serious. I'm not even being Freudian.
No, I'm going to disagree, Doc. What I'm saying is, so if I shoot a picture, the one thing that I've got when I'll adjust exposure first, and then I'll look at whether I think it tends to shoot a bit yellow. And generally speaking, cameras will shoot a bit yellow. Certainly my Canon 5D Mark III does. So I'll look at whether I want to go towards the bluer tones, because it balances the images better, or it gives it a sense of something. So I shoot underground, and underground you get lots of yellow because there's loads of yellow light there. It's not white light. Mm. And so as a rule, I tend to pull the blues a lot higher than I would do if I was above ground, because the blues are naturally higher above ground. So, and then the other thing is, if you actually go too far in the blues or further over in the blues, you can actually get a sense of where you're actually starting to dislodge people from their sense of reality, because they've been down underground and they know it's very yellow down there. And the fact that you show them a bright blue image makes yours stand out. Same as HDR makes it stand out, even though it's shit.
Just curious, because I actually do this, because I'm kind of in agreement with you, Ewan. I usually feel like the images I take are somewhat overexposed in most lighting situations on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And to the point where, like, I usually use the exposure slider before I take my image. Yep. Like, the iPhone camera, you tap the button and then you slide your finger down or up and it will adjust the exposure right before you take the shot. It's pretty quick and easy to do.
Well, I mean, if you look at Greg's picture here, naturally, it seems to be taking an underexposed image by default.
And right, so just slide it up.
By you, so slide it up before you take your picture. But the thing that I would say as a caveat as well, for everyone out there, if you're going to start messing with your exposures and you're not entirely sure what you're doing, is always underexpose rather than overexpose. Because if you underexpose, for a start, anything that you burn in, so a black will look more natural than a white. So once you blow out, things that look far more unnatural. The only thing you'll get is, like, if the sun blows out to be a pure white, you'll get away with that. But if you've got someone's shirt or something like that and you start to get a zero detail in the whites, you're never going to recover that. It'll never come back, and it'll look like a white stain on the front of a slightly grayed shirt. Whereas if they're wearing a black shirt and you fill it in, it will look more natural than
right.
A white that's burned out. So we're always underexposed to a fraction of the moment, but correct.
The F1 probably underexposes.
Yeah. The iPhone shows you the new ones in real time, and it's really fast too. I mean, it you can see what you're going to get before you take the shot on a big, especially if you have a 10S Max. I mean, you got a huge screen. You can see what that image is going to look like.
Yeah, I think
that's a bit of screen calibration there, which is not good, I'm afraid, because I haven't seen exactly what I saw was what was came out in the picture, if you know what I mean. Sorry.
Are you talking about when you print it out? I'm saying what you see on screen is going to be the same.
And what I see on screen is not correctly accurate for what I see in front of me. So that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's
no. I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about I can hold up my camera and look through the screen, and what I'm looking at on the screen is when I snap that picture is the thing that it's going to, it's exactly what it's going to look like on my iPhone after after I take that picture.
Yeah.
I am so bored.
One of the things that's kind of...
We've been talking about cameras for a full hour.
I thought you were a geek. No, we have not talked for an hour.
Yeah, I'm just jealous.
40 minutes, maybe, tops. 40 minutes, tops. I'm not letting you have an hour. 40 minutes.
Yeah, we probably should move on.
All right.
That's a fair point.
Let's do something critical and important. New emojis in 12.1.
Llamas.
Ooh, look at that.
And mangoes. Those are good. Those are important. Yeah, badgers, too. Badger. My daughter was very excited there was finally a badger.
That looks like an AIDS virus there. That one. But it's not. It's a microbe, apparently. It's finally, I've got to say, now they've finally included lacrosse, I can breathe easy.
What are they trying to say with toilet paper and lotion?
Yeah, good point,
that,
mate.
That is a good question.
Bit American pie, isn't it? All you need is a tube sock and you're right away.
Yeah.
Well, now if you want a poop emoji, you have a response.
You can clean up, yeah.
Now, here's the thing, because actually the
why didn't we have a compass before? Like, that seems like one that should have been there a long time ago, especially considering it's the Safari icon just turned silver.
Every time you type the word lost now, that's going to be the option emoji that comes up as a compass. Here's the thing. So, Memoji, love Memoji, played around with it, had no end of fun with it. And I took a picture of, I made a Memoji for everyone in my family. And I pulled a face and took a picture of myself as each of the characters, Briony, Sharon, Ellis and me. And I was like, that's great. I'm going to have that as a picture. I'm going to put it up in the hallway because I can overlap the cartoons and it'll look absolutely great. I can't get the result. There's no way I can take a decent sized resolution off it. Am I doing something wrong? Is there a way to get a really good picture of your Memoji?
You can do it with the camera app, can't you?
Well, you see, now you can do it with a FaceTime call and you can do it with a message, but
you can do it with a selfie camera.
Okay, so you put the selfie camera on and then your head appears but your body's already in there, so does that give you a better resolution then?
It should give you full selfie camera resolution, I would assume, does it not?
Okay. But then you've got to sit and cut out your body from the head.
Oh, I guess, yeah, if you wanted...
You
don't want your body on the head?
No, I just wanted just the heads of us all. That was all.
Mm-hmm. There's a... somebody made an app.
You can't get any more selfie camera either. It's only FaceTime.
Yeah, I thought it was just FaceTime.
The Anna karaoke, whatever they called it.
I'm sorry, boys, but I know I've said slagged off emojis before on Memoji when it 10 came out because I was kind of upset because I wasn't getting a 10. But now I've got it. It's really important to me.
I wonder if you could access those through something like iMazing or something like that where you could get direct access to...
Yeah, might work.
The full resolution things that are in the phone.
Well, somewhere. We've got the BTN army out there. If anyone's listening, they know how to get so I can take a really good resolution picture of me Memoji, preferably without me in it, just on against the white background. That would be awesome. Thank you very much. I'd love you forever. I'll buy you a box of Smarties.
I got a way.
Okay, dude, go for it. A box of Smarties on its way to Hawaii.
This might work. So plug in your... Lightning cable and have it set to screen capture in QuickTime at the highest resolution. Hopefully it will want to pull the 4K and then you can just screen capture there. But the best part, if you're in your computer, like I'm on a 5K iMac and I have it on QuickTime at full screen, between the two of them, they've done some rendering and some fixing. So I might be able to get a 2.5K, which will be good enough.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to try that, man. That's a good one. Thank you very much.
Wirelessly, but now, right? Can't you wirelessly QuickTime from your phone?
Yeah, I could.
What resolution do you get if you send it as a message?
It's low. It's not massive at all.
Yeah, it's not big.
You've only got to just pinch and zoom a little bit, and you can start seeing it pixelate. So we deal with the critical issues on this show.
Yep.
Yeah, running down totally. The camera.
How do you get high quality Memoji?
And Memojis, yeah. Jordan says, my wife's a professional photographer, so everything you and saying I've heard before. So I can see that professionals, where the professionals are coming from.
But that's you professionals, not the other professionals that are raving about it online, and there's dozens of them. Well, that was my only point. It's like, so us average users are from the outskirts are looking at this going, you guys, none of you apparently know what you're talking about because you're all calling each other liars.
As long as the window lickers are happy, that's all that matters. Yes, quite right.
Apple, that was my only point. It's crazy.
Apple, there's been allegedly a hack of iCloud by the Chinese. Now, this morning, British intelligence, God love them, have come out and said, nah, it's all bollocks. It didn't happen. And GCHQ has backed up Apple saying that the Chinese didn't get to us.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know who to believe. I mean, Business Week is definitely...
Well, bloody GCHQ!
No.
They unpicked your Enigma machine, mate, so you got to believe them.
They might just be protecting, like, national interests. On the other hand, like, Bloomberg is also not known for, like, stellar journalism, so they could have made that up or misunderstood.
Well, this is actually part of the problem, right? Because as somebody who wishes he could get a statement from Apple PR on occasion and never is able to because they just ignore him, you know, Apple emphatically... responded to Bloomberg before they published the piece, and Bloomberg said, nope, you're lying, we're going with our sources. Yeah. So like, they're just flat out calling Apple liars.
Yep. Are Apple now the Russians or something, and I've missed something? No.
So the biggest God, it's hard to say this, the biggest problem is all the tech companies are catching it in the pills right now for their privacy policies or whatever. And it's not that Apple is completely shiny, but they're the most white suit left. And everyone in places that wants them to share things that they won't share hates them. And then so they do get a big punch in the face a lot. I just watched a really nice Vice article, sort of a piece where they were talking to Tim Cook about it. And he goes, we're not going to do it. I don't care how much, you know, you think we should and shouldn't. We're not going to do it. But the reason why the conversation came up is because they finally nutted up and booted Alex Jones. And Tim was like, you know, we try to let everybody do the thing, but he just took it a little bit too far. So they had to put a, you know, foot down. And they, you know, they explained it where everybody else, you know, came off on this holier than thou thing, but they were doing just as egregious stuff with people's privacy. So Apple, yeah, just watch the Tim Cook thing. You'll feel good about what he had to say.
Let's talk about the bigger issue here, which is apparently Apple's HR is completely crap because, you know, they're a trillion-dollar company that can't seem to hire anybody who is a professional in their field. Obviously, their security experts are horrible, and their photography experts suck. That's what we've determined today.
Well, maybe that's because their HR people suck, and they don't know what they're doing, so it's a vicious circle at that point, isn't it?
Companies
are all Russian spies anyway.
Well, and it won't make watch bands big enough for, you know, fluffy.
Windrider says, going back to the important story, there's a setting in messages in iOS to turn low quality image mode on or off.
I think the default is high quality, so
yeah, I thought so too, but never mind.
You do messages, it's 480x480. Yeah.
Jordan Airwave says, I'd rather believe GCHQ and Apple over their hacking over Facebook and their hacking issues. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's according to US officials, this actually happened. According to Bloomberg. Bloomberg quoted US officials.
Yeah, US officials can mean a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
the FBI came out publicly and said Apple has not contacted us, and Bloomberg is saying Apple did contact the FBI.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah, the thing is, this is a truthy story. Like, it's definitely. I mean, we know that NSA has been trying to do this. So the Chinese government certainly could and probably would. It's just a matter of did they.
Oh, they even know, I mean, this one server brand, it was these chips have shown up in servers in the U.S. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's being denied here is Apple says, no, we had one incident in 2016 where there was a software thing on one of these servers and we immediately mm-hmm. reported it. And it was in our testing lab. It wasn't even put into production.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why they're testing for it.
And GCHQ said it didn't happen, so it didn't happen.
Right.
Because you got to love the boys down at Bletchley, which is now in Cheltenham, I know, but iMac and 2018 MacBook Pro systems must pass Apple Diagnostics to function after certain repairs. Is this trying to attack the third-party repair market again, or try and bring in-house? And no,
this is security chip stuff again. This is the same problem they had with screens on iPhones and home buttons and secure enclaves and
error 53.
Yeah, when you start putting in security chips that are checking things in the hardware for things like Chinese chips that are in third-party components or whatever. You have to have certifications. So, it's going to cause problems with third-party repairs. But, we're back to this conspiracy. Is Apple deliberately doing it to stop third-party repairs? I don't think that's their mm-hmm. intent. Does
you
it
know
what's effectively?
Not their intent? Because if you read right there on the screen while Ewan still has it up, if your eyes focus on 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom and Apple authorized service providers. So if you're a third-party provider, take the test. It's $150 at Pearson. You pass the test. You're an authorized provider. You get the tools. Don't be a bitch.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think, this that looks more like on. It's to make sure that the repairs are done correctly than anything else.
Doug's bored.
Jerome and I are Apple authorized service providers. We took the test, and if it comes up and we need to do the tools, we can fix it. But like people make like they're trying to stop any third party. Guys, it's not that hard. Just take the freaking test.
Okay.
It's super not that hard.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm right with you, brother. Yeah. I'll tell you what has pissed me off.
But it was a bad FUD week this week.
So what's happened, since I got my new iPhone last Friday and I initialized it while we were all here, mm-hmm. it has logged me out of every device associated with my Apple ID, which I broadcast apparently the other week.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, every device I've been logged out of. All the phones that I had before have gone. All the Mac Minis here, completely logged out. My laptop, logged out. And when I've logged back in, it said, I've sent a code to your phone. And it's done two-factor authentication, even though I have got two-factor authentication not enabled on any device, and it won't let me tell it to piss off either and not tell you, keep asking me, can I have two-factor authentication because I don't want it. And it gave me two-factor authentication. Otherwise, it wouldn't let me use the device again through the new phone. Have I been pissed on there?
There's some services that do require it.
Well, or either that or you triggered for some reason some kind of like fraud protection where it's like, well, let's lock him off.
It's just me, isn't it? No one else has had this, have they?
No.
Apple hate me.
Anything about it.
Since I made fun of Angela's clitoris comment, that's it. I'm now marked.
Yeah, they've flagged your account.
They're just sitting up there in Cupertino and going, should we do it again yet? Go on, should we do it? Let's do it now. Go on. Let's do it now. Make the bugger sign into every single one. Because the thing is, I've got more Apple devices than anyone else using that ID.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it might actually be why it's happening.
No, that's a conspiracy theory.
No, it's awesome.
They have a Ewan mode.
You get two-factor identification now in Mojave, and you have messages where it can text you the code. So the message on your computer, Safari automatically puts it in because it's obviously you sitting. That's so bomb. Like, I love that.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
There are some security experts with issues with that particular feature, but yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I can understand the issues. Like, I get it.
Messages are not secure anyway.
Yeah, that's the problem, is messages can be intercepted pretty easily.
I thought it was encrypted into it.
Did you see that Facebook is selling off the numbers that you use for 2FA?
No.
They add them to your shadow profile and they provide them to advertisers?
What?
Why? <Yeah. laughs>
That seems really stupid.
They're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's like... That's worse than anything we've talked about so far with images and all that crap. That's even better. That's even better than Apple's HR department.
Oh, seriously, what are they going to do with it? I'm curious.
Yeah. Doc, on the messages thing, the problem is they're sending them SMS. It's not it's not iMessage.
Yep.
Doc, what they're going to do with the phone number is add it to your shadow profile so you can be connected to all kinds of transactions online that you wouldn't with the information that you voluntarily provide.
Right.
Oh, I got it. So you're saying if you say, don't share my phone number, but then you use 2FA, then they can share the phone number.
Well, right. They can't. I mean, they shouldn't not be allowed to, but they do anyway. A researcher targeted an ad to a compatriot's landline that the number was never shared, even for 2FA. And because it was in his shadow profile on Facebook, he got the ad immediately.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah, there's some crappy stuff going.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
I'm unplugging everything. Screw it all.
Yep.
Everyone upgraded to iOS 12?
Done.
Yep.
Yeah, I've done it. I like it. Really good.
Yeah, I love the integration with 1Password is the most brilliant thing.
Oh, yes,
for sure.
Brian's got it on my...
It's my favorite update since, like, iOS 4.
Yes, yep. Three
it's
was crap.
Nothing but
four was awesome
for me.
Yeah, I lost the phone to 3.1.2 or 3.1.4, I think. Just bricked it, and three was dog, absolute dog. Loads of battery issues and that kind of stuff. And then four was awesome. So four was the best thing since sliced bread. And I got to agree with Brett. 12 is better, is as good as four. 50% uptake rate on it at the moment, which is good. But I've got it on Briny's iPhone 6, which is the oldest phone that we've got now that runs it, and it's brilliant. It flies. Absolutely.
You guys care about screen time at all?
Yeah.
Nope.
I haven't enabled it on the kids' devices, but it's hard because Ellis uses
it. It would just be 80% Fortnite or something, right? No.
Mine is.
No, I know.
And the rest. And the rest.
But
no, Ellis is using it. He does it a lot for homework, so I'm a bit kind of loath to start interfering with the settings on his phone because he's got like a text-to-speech thing that lets him then just dump it into documents and so on, so he gets loads more done.
What were you saying, Brett?
I was just, my screen time is depressing with like 70% games, I think, but yeah. I've actually used that to add some limits to stop myself from playing games all day.
That's good.
So those
with
are
my kids... So here's my only complaint about it is, and this is interesting because you know, we've always been really open with my kids. I'm kind of probably like you, Ewan, in a lot of ways. It's like, I don't like to mess with my kids' phones too much. I do have parental controls on there for certain things, and they actually like some of those restrictions because they block like weird Google searches from bringing up stuff that they're just really not interested in seeing. Mm. But it's always been really light. So I've always had really light parental controls on there, and they moved the parental controls into screen time. Mm. And my daughter had to come to me the other day, and I hadn't realized the two were merged. And she's like, I want to set some limits because she had been watching. She's like, I'm spending too much time on Pinterest and I want to put my own limit into my screen time. And she couldn't do it because it was locked with the parental code. So I had to take the parental controls code off for her phone, which means she can go in and change all that stuff if she wants. And again, it's not a big deal. I was fine doing it, but I could understand how other parents, they might want parental controls on, but might want to allow their kids to regulate their own screen time. And that's not possible in the current setup.
I don't have kids, but if my kid did come to me to voluntarily regulate something, I'd be like, I'm at a point now where I can just take parental controls off.
Right.
Yeah.
I never really needed them before and I was fine, but it was just like one of those things like, yeah, you know, we're going to not let you put accounts or mess with your iCloud account. It was more just like a protecting them from doing something weird accidentally than really trying to control their screen time or what apps they were using or things like that. Like they've always been able to install apps. Like I said, it was really light parental controls turning them off, but I can understand how, you know, some parents might want to allow the kids to do screen time on their own and self-regulate, but maybe want parental controls for some of the other things like location services and things like maybe you don't want your kids turning on, or even some app just accident. Like that was one of the things we always had turned off. I always had turned off because I don't want some app just accidentally turning it on and tracking them.
Do you know what my favorite feature of iOS 12 so far is? The activity app. The new activity app is awesome. Have you tried competitions?
No.
Yeah. I'm running a competition this week against Jerome, and it's like, other than that, his goals were really low. I checked his the months before, and he was like always surpassing it by like 200 calories, and I was like, so he's beating me right now because it just counts against what you've set as a goal. So that's the only limitation, but it is really good.
Yeah, I discovered that the hard way. I did a competition with him, and I'm like, wait, your thing is 400, and mine is at like 1,000.
Yeah,
dude, exactly. I could do 400 taking a crap.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what one of my favorite features are is the ability to control notifications from the lock screen, and more specifically, the new Deliver Quietly feature. Do you guys know about that?
Yep.
So if you're in a group text message, or you're in a group message on some service or something like that, and you're getting bombarded temporarily with notifications from that service, if you swipe to the left and kind of keep going, there's a manage button on the lock screen on the notification group, and you can say deliver quietly. And then what will happen is it won't show up on the lock screen, but it'll still show up when you swipe up to view all of the notifications. So it kind of gets rid of a lot of that lock screen clutter temporarily. And then once that's passed, you can just simply go in and toggle it back on again.
I also love bedtime mode, where it doesn't give you any notifications between certain hours. That waking up in the morning and not picking up my phone to see 100 notifications, huge like mental break for me. I'm loving that.
Yep.
Because you wake up and they're all sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I got to check all of this stuff.
Yeah,
and
it causes a subconscious panic for me. And I never realized it until I just turned them all off.
Have it. Well, one of the things that help is sometimes you and friends will get into a pissing contest at like 3 a.m. And even though it's not beeping, my screen will wake up. And then I just happen to lean over with a half eye and I see that Ewan and Patrice are arguing about
something's going on. Yeah.
My phone's going off like crazy and I'm like, Greg, I'm trying to sleep.
Old man P and phone coming on and seeing the notifications are pain in the ass because you always look. Absolutely.
Yep, you and I agree. I have an old man P problem too. And once I'm up and I see a notification, sometimes I follow it down a rabbit hole and an hour later I'm still up. And I was like, I could have went right back to sleep if I didn't touch the phone.
I didn't have that feature on. I'm turning it on now. Why didn't I have that
old
on?
Man That's P? Awesome.
Because you don't have old man P?
You don't have old man P.
You wake up in the middle of the night yet?
No. I didn't have the bedtime feature on. I didn't even know it was something I hadn't
right,
been able
to. Come on, show hands,
Nobody
fellas.
Who, as old as you.
Tell the truth. You wake up in the middle of the night yet?
Who has old man P? 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Are you kidding?
Old man P.
Yeah, right between 3 and 4.
I haven't had that as much anymore.
Savor it, Patrice, because it's coming, I'm telling you.
I do.
Quick, bro. And then once it starts, it never stops.
Old man P's like...
If you ever try to push it, I've done that. Don't. It's not good.
I sit down now because the wife complains that I make too much noise if I stand up.
I sit down just to make the bathroom cleaner.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it also means you don't have to put the light on because that's the other thing that wakes you up as well.
Oh, brother, I know how to solve this problem with the light, and it's amazing. If you happen to get Nest smoke alarms, they have a really elegant glow when you start to move so that you don't bang your freaking toe in the shit. And for me, I used to hit the washer door, because Karen, when she finishes washing, she leaves the door open so that the cavity can dry. And always, middle of the night, walk into the bathroom, brah, right into that freaking door.
I'll do but you one better. Save you a lot of money. Guess what, Doc? They have LED night lights with motion sensors built into them. They cost about like $3 or whatever.
Well, they stop your ass from getting burnt in the fire. The Nest.
It'll cost like $200.
Disrupt sleep cycles. So I just put strips of red LEDs on a motion detector under the bed so that when motion is detected, the bed lights the floor.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's good.
Red. Got to be red.
Red light.
My new bed has LEDs under it because I got one of those old man massager type beds. And could set it onto a motion controller. That's a good idea. But the Nest does it very, very subtly, so it won't wake you up. It's really trippy. I think it's one of the best features that no one talks about on Nest.
I love them, but they are overly priced for what they do, to be honest.
$100?
Yeah.
$100 so you can make your bedroom look like a prostitute's place.
It's a soft white light in the case of the Nest. It's
light from under the bed, and it vibrates. Come on, Doc. Yeah. Jesus, man.
Yeah. Oh, it vibrates. It has all kind of motion, but that bed frame was like $3,000. It wasn't $100.
Oh. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. We're brilliant. We love them to bits. They've saved our bacon. We're all over on TSO Host now, and you can be too. Get all your stuff transferred over as an offer code as well, BTN20. If you use BTN20, you'll get 20% off your hosting services with them as you get all your stuff over. Absolutely brilliant. Ian Lewis has moved over. A couple of other people in the Slack room have moved over, I know. So get your stuff over to TSO Host. .com and they'll look after you, and they'll know your BTN, and they'll really look after you. And also, please tweet out and say thanks to at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because we'd be lost without them. We wouldn't have any bandwidth or anything. Nothing would work. And also thanks to Telestream.net for providing us with Wirecam. This is absolutely superb. It's the stuff that keeps switching that I still can't use properly, and I need to learn. And then that is perfect if you've got like a sporting venue, or if you've got somewhere where you need to do a broadcast to people who can't make it in, and you can put it over the internet. I've talked to a friend of mine actually who's got a market research firm, and he wants to use this to broadcast some market research sessions. So that'd be superb if you can give them. And also at Telestream, please say at Telestream, at British Tech. Thanks very much for supporting British Tech. And your Nukus, you can still get your Nukus if you want to. There's mine. I'm wearing mine today, my grey ones. Black ones are down here. They're superb. Still go and get measured. Camps got measured the other week. He's got his now. They look absolutely awesome. So go out and check out your Nuku. And even if you don't want the Nukus, you just want the Advantex, or you want some Hoyer replacement lenses for your existing frames, then say send a message to podcast@hoyer.co.uk, and they'll sort you out with some stuff. Time for the cool thing. So, start us off, Doc.
All right, here's my pick. I didn't want to send it in the middle of your sponsor talking. This came up in my feed probably like...
You know when you text it to me, I can't do sod all with it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you want with it? It's easy. Just go to awaytravel.com. That's the answer.
Okay.
So, I had been... this came in my feed like a year ago when it first came out, and I just ignored it. And then I guess part of the reason why it shows up in my Instagram feed is because I'm always traveling. I'm always talking about travel, and I'm hashtag travel. And I finally gave in and bought one. And I got to say, it is probably the most epic yet simple game changer ever. So I got some away luggage. I have pretty decent luggage, but I wanted to just get something new. And then I bought the first piece as a thing for Karen's birthday, and then went and got the second two pieces. But basically what they've done for the carry-on person like Patrice, someone who flies a lot, this thing that's known as the bigger carry-on, it fits exactly in the carry-on frame at every airport, you know, in the majors that will sort of cause trouble, right? So your Heathrow's, your JFK's, your LAX's, you know, your Kansai Airport, they tested it against that. In the back of it, it has a maximum allowable battery pack that you can use to charge your phone and your MacBook with it. It's made out of a really nice poly plastic thing that's relatively indestructible. On the suitcase size ones, it has a thing in it where you put all your stuff in it. You put your dirty kit in the laundry bag. You pull these two straps down, and it compresses it without you having to buy, you know, special compression bags or whatever. But the number one thing I really, really loved about this case is it comes with basically a lifetime warranty. And Patricia, if you remember, when you come to the airport here, some dumbass in our architectural division decided to put 4-inch by 4-inch squares for the mile that you walk from the tarmac to pick up your baggage. So your carry-on the whole time is and wheels explode. every time you walk into Honolulu Airport, you watch somebody's wheels explode. And then so even something as simple as buying new wheels for your case at $25 a pop and then putting them on or getting it repaired somewhere for more, it was worth it to me that they had, you know, really, really killer warranty. These things are amazing. And so it was designed by some lady who had a suitcase explode on her. She was in New York, a frequent traveler. And she wanted to figure out how could she make something that's cheap and still good, because your standard Rimowa and your Tumis and stuff like that, yo, they're well over $1,000 for a small little carry-on. So, yep. You know, having had a Rimowa that exploded thanks to Honolulu Airport, I'm like, at least I can buy this, you know, for 275 pounds or 200 bucks or 300 bucks for the large. And they just work really well. They're well designed and they're super light.
They look lovely.
Huh?
They look lovely, but.
Yeah, they're amazing too. Because they're subtle. A lot of stuff out there, man. You look at bags, you start looking for suitcases, and you're like, "Who's designing this crap?" It's almost as if they let, you know, Paulum's in to design the suitcases because they're just horrible.
Like, tell him you said that. £350 to add 3-letter monogram.
Yeah, that's dumb. That's where they picture. You can do that yourself.
Yeah, that's not good.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, these things are amazing. I didn't bother with the monogram because I'll stick it in the laser and monogram in my damn self.
But, good man. Yeah, I'll fly mine over and you can do mine as well. And now I can save the money.
That's a good idea.
I'll find you somebody there that has a laser.
Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to pick one. I probably picked this a long time ago, but I hadn't been using it in a while, and I'm back to using it, and I love it. It's another great app from Carrot, the folks who make Carrot Weather.
Yep.
And it is called, I'm unidentified in the chat, but it's called Carrot Fit, and it's their workout and weight tracking app. I don't do the workout part of it. But they do have a little like they call it the 7 minute in hell workout, which is just a little workout that you can do, 7 minutes a day. And, it's fun. I mean, it's got all the sort of Carrot humor and stuff in it. I use it for the weight tracking. So you can put in like a goal weight, you can put in, your targets and keep track every day and weigh in every day. And it will send you reminders to make sure that you're weighing in and keeping track of that stuff. And it's got a great graph view built into it. I mean, very simple thing. It integrates with the health app and with activity. So you can track all your workouts, track your weight, and it is really helping me. They've got a great watch app. And also there's an app for the Apple TV if you want to do the workouts like in your living room and use your Apple TV. So, I like it a lot. I don't remember the price. I mean, it's a couple bucks like most of these Carrot apps are. And it will berate you, you know, when you are not doing well, and reward you when you're doing well with, you know, little humorous things. So I quite enjoy it, and it's working great for me. So I'm on a current kick to lose some weight, and it's been working out really, really well.
Good lad. Well done. How have you got on so far?
I'm down about 37 pounds.
Wow. Congrats. Good lad. Well done. Superb.
Yeah.
I'm having to stab myself at the minute.
So this helps me, you know, I anything that will berate me and make fun of me when I gain weight, it works for me. So it may not work for you, but if you enjoy that sort of Carrot humor, it's fun. It makes it fun. Awesome. For me, so.
Yeah. You're in California. Get yourself to a yoga studio, brother.
All I'm doing is, you know, I cut out a lot of the carbs, and I'm walking every day, and that's all it's taken, you know, and I'm monitoring.
Exactly how I lost my first 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Dude, as a dude that sits in the chair, trust me, getting your back in the straight thing is good. And I'm having a hard time because there's things I can't do because of my knees. I am getting a total knee replacement sometime in March. So I'll be back at it, but just getting your back stretched out and stuff, you'll sleep so much better.
Yeah.
You mentioned the chair thing. Can I do one other quick tip for people? Yeah. And I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out. As a person who works at home and sits in a chair quite frequently, I've always bought like cheap task chairs from, you know, Target or Office Depot or whatever, which is a really stupid thing to do. And they were always breaking on me, you know, $50 to $70 kind of chair, sometimes cheaper than that. My last one broke after, it was like an Amazon Basics. It broke after like a year. And I finally realized, you know what? I probably should get a really decent chair, but I didn't want to spend $400-500. I honestly just didn't have that much money to spend on a chair. And then I had the epiphany, you know, there's lots of used office furniture places here. I went out, I found a, what basically is a $400 office chair for, I got it for $130. Nice. So maybe I should, if you're looking for a really good chair for your office, look for used office places. And this place had like, you know, they get them from offices that are going out of business or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can get some great deals on a really good chair. So I finally have a really good chair.
You can get a new chair.
Are they going out of business because they spent all their money on chairs?
Chairs, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, correct, yeah. That's what happens. you got a startup, you got a bunch of VC money, and you staff up, and then something goes south, unfortunately, but you can benefit. You can get a really good chair for yourself.
So just one of the local startups, they did that. They bought all of this swanky office furniture, and they went out of business, and I'm going to show you something cool. This, my friend, is a real deal. Oh, it's heavy. Real deal Herman Miller, like Taylor Rock. I got it for $75 because the person doing the selling didn't know what they were, thought it was Office Depot chair. But that's a legitimate.
I don't know why it took me so long. Maybe everybody else already knew this tip already, but it took me.
No, you can get, you can get furniture that's new.
Knowledge for the chair I'm sitting in, so I didn't know this tip.
I have a Herman Miller Aero draftsman's chair over there. It was £1,600. It's the most uncomfortable chair I've ever sat in my entire life.
Well, go sit in them first. That's the other thing. The used office place had a ton of them, and I just went in there and sat in a bunch of them. And this guy goes, "We just got like 300 of these in." And he's like, "And also, as I was leaving, he's like, if anything ever breaks on it, bring it back in. We'll just give you another part. You know, you need a new arm or whatever. We'll just we'll swap it out for you."
I'm going to give it another chance.
Done.
When I've lost all my weight, I'm going to try it again, and if it's and see if it's not comfortable. And if it's comfortable, if it's not comfortable, then it's the chair. If it is comfortable, then it's me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm actually looking for a chair. I was kind of trying to decide whether I should buy one or not because most of the time I'm standing. So, but every now and then I might want to sit down, and I don't want to spend like $500 on a chair because I would do that. So
I just did a Yelp search for used office furniture, and there was one like, you know, a mile from my house. It's like, done.
There's probably
Herman
something.
Good one.
Herman Miller Aero.
Don't have the neck part. I wish I had the neck.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want a neck part, mate. Those are for people who are malingerers. Yeah, that's for malingerers.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail our picks.
Anyway, Brett, what have you got, mate?
The neck part.
So I just got a new car. And
another Audi.
Oh. Yeah, sorry about the old one.
Like, so I crashed my Audi TT. Totally. And I had taken the time to mount a magnetic phone holder in the Audi, in the TT. I didn't want to do that because I got a 2016 A3 and I didn't want to mess with the dashboard on it. So I did find this company called Clear Mounts, dropping it in chat, that makes these magnetic phone holders that wrap around the air vents in most models of Audi.
Right.
And they make some that are Qi compatible, but I just got the low profile one. It is perfect. It's just below the heads up display, and I'm in love with this
phone it is quite holder subtle.
For $35.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was just a picture of the dashboard. I hadn't seen it. So is that good?
That's cool.
I love it. If you own an Audi, that is the prerequisite.
Okay. I'm going to go and buy an Audi just so I can buy this.
Not sure Sharon will agree with that.
Excellent, mate. Yeah, Sharon's. I just do it until I've had it ages.
It's an idea.
Cool. Excellent, good pick, mate. $35 as well, so not going to break the bank.
Yeah.
Brett's forgot to talk.
You're welcome.
Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I got something that's more a little bit more on the geeky side, but since Brett is here, or on the technical side, since Brett is here, I think that might actually be a good one. So this is more for the like web developer server admins out there. I've been like for, I don't know, 10, 15 years administering Linux servers. And usually it was like 4 or 5, so I could like remember the domains and just SSH into them. But recently I've started to add more and more servers, and it's getting to a point where I can't even remember what like the login is. And I mean, yeah, you can set up like bash aliases and all of that stuff, but I still have to remember the alias. So I was looking for a solution for that. And I found a free GitHub project, a tool, a little Mac app that is called Shuttle. It's a simple SSH shortcut menu. And all it does is, I mean, you can either like have a JSON script that lets you configure things, and you can even like put in commands that you want to execute on that server right away and whatever into it, or it just reads the SSH config with all your servers set up. And it is awesome. Like, it's just one click away. It opens the terminal window. You can like, it's infinitely, or it's not infinitely, but it's very configurable. You can say, is it a new window, new tab? What, I mean, you can even set things like what color scheme you want to use for that, and all of that. So it is really, really good, and it's free. So just search for Shuttle on GitHub, and or look at the chat. There's a link there, and you will find it.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. If you're into
that. Yeah, I like that it can read the your SSH config, because yeah. I have command line completion for everything in my config file, so I can just type SSH and then hit tab to get a list of all my available servers. If it can read that and put that in a toolbar, that's pretty awesome.
Exactly. I mean, I thought about that as well, but then just like a GUI was simply easier for me in this case.
Sure.
Yeah, excellent. Good pick.
Sweet.
My cool thing, I've only just found this out within the last month, and I was gobsmacked when I found out, and I wish I'd found out sooner that it did this. But Compressor is my pick. It's £48 in the Mac App Store. It's an Apple piece of software that deals with video and compression and conversion. And I've not picked it because of what it does with video. What I've picked it for is the fact is because it interfaces with Keynote. Now, Keynote is a bit of a poor man's, if you didn't know, is a bit of a poor man's animation facility. So you can take a very simple logo, break it down, stick it into Keynote, and here's mine, Termi Company. And if I press play, it's going to play through, and it's just a very simple fade-in animation. It actually did it. That would be great. I can edit, don't worry. So it comes in slowly. It's just fading in. It's great. Now, you're thinking, okay, well, that's fine. Good for a PowerPoint, but good for or a Keynote, but good for nothing else. Well, no, because actually you can export from Keynote to movies. Did you all know that?
Yes.
No.
I did not.
You can. Right. So before, I knew that I could go to 720p and I could pick 1080p and I could bump it out. But because I've installed Compressor, the problem with 1080p is when you bump it out, if you've got a fade effect, it looks a bit shit when it comes out. But if you've got Compressor installed, you can click Custom now. It just suddenly appears once you've done it. And if you put in the resolution for 1080, 1920 by... tab it, 1080, you can actually then pick Apple ProRes 422 or Apple ProRes 4444, which means that if you've got black in your animation, you can drop that out as an alpha channel when you get it into Final Cut Pro. And if you then dump that out, you can get it at full resolution, and then all of the fade effects and all of the transitions are absolutely crystal clear, and you can see the kerning on the fonts is just absolutely smooth. There's no blocking at all as they animate. It's absolutely beautiful. You're going to get a big file. That's your downside. But it's absolutely brilliant. I use it loads anyway. I've always used it as a cheap animation solution for me, a quick animation solution. But now it's a quick quality animation solution for me. The best thing ever.
That's nice. Good.
There you go. Is that a recent thing, or have I just...
Before, what we used to do is go to images and then spit out image sequence and then recompile it, you know, with either QuickTime before they jacked up Time Pro. But then with the other movie ones, I never thought about doing it at such a high clip and then using the alpha channel if it's clean. Because the standard way, it does look a little, you know, liney. But if you're only showing it on a projector, it doesn't matter. But now you just add in the compressor part.
Well, if you're shooting it out in ProRes, mate, then you've got it at equivalent to Final Cut anyway. So
yeah,
it's perfect. I just thought it was just me. I thought it was something I've missed for years.
I've always used compressor because I have, you know, my older iMac and my older Mac minis. And so I make them render using compressor. And since you have all the ones we're talking on, if you have a big project, you can set all of our Mac minis that we talk on to compress while you're in Final Cut, and you can do something else because you don't have to do the final render.
Right.
Setting up the server farm and compressor is super easy. And so from your main computer, your Mac Pro, you can say, okay, I'm ready. Spit this out, but instead of rendering here, render on the six Mac minis that I normally use for BTN and just do something altogether different. And those six will probably out render your Mac Pro by itself anyway.
Dude, we're going to have a conversation and a Skype call another
super
day.
I'll show you how. It's super dope.
Dude, well, you're in. Right. That's awesome. You're getting two bags of Smarties now.
And a suitcase.
No, he's not good. It's not that good. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
In Japan. No. You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Mr. Maccast, where would you be?
You can find me at maccast.com, also Maccast on your favorite podcast app, or Maccast on Twitter.
At least what's left of you.
At least what's left of me, yeah.
Yeah. Talking to what's left of you, Brett, where can we get you?
BrettTerpstra.com and TTScoff everywhere else. Twitter, GitHub, Facebook, whatever you like.
And getting in and out of your car and putting your phone on the magnetic bracket just for fun.
Yep. you can find me also launch control mode on the Audi A3. It's amazing. So I'll be doing one of those.
How come you
that
say Audi
great
as well?
Car.
Why do I say what?
Audi. Because all the Americans I've met say Audi.
No. Yeah, who says like that? I have never heard that from any American.
Oh, no. What? My cousins.
Oh, never heard people here Audi say that Audi all the time.
I thought it was Audi. Do you say, yeah, Audi, they say Audi in Phoenix?
They say Audi here, yeah. And it's actually
they
Audi.
Do?
It's Audi. Yeah.
I have never
maybe
heard
it's a
that.
Regional thing.
I say you guys Audi are, yeah, it must be regional. Phonetics.
Well, it's because it's what it says. It's the way it's spelled, and that's it. So, yeah.
Say Audi because the commercial tells you it every 5 minutes yep. when you're watching football.
Yeah. Right. And Patrice, where can we get you, pal?
As always, every week here on the Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're back again for the big show in a couple of hours. So make sure you get yourself down here. That'll be loads and loads of fun. And I'm sorry about not posting on time last week. This one is going to be posted this weekend. I do promise. Absolutely.
We'll check on Monday.
See you all next week. Thanks for listening. I never lie. I'm like Superman.
All right. I got to run.
Just Superman
with me. I got to run too.
Superman.
Do you need
with an
me to tell Siri to remind me to remind you to post the show on Monday?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
You can all leave me a text to wake up to on Monday morning that says you wanker.
Or you could ask Siri to remind you.
You wanker. No, it's more fun if you all write me a text that says you wanker during the night.
Okay. Well, do that.